talking loaf of bread says to everyone in the room, "You can eat now."
There are so many little-known fairy tales, folklore stories, and chapters of history to explore in this world. And so much of it is wackadoo! Unbelievable, disturbing, enthralling, mind-bending, and just plain weird. When I find these stories, they get stuck in my head, and I absolutely have to share them with someone. So I thought, why not share these? You. Welcome to Tail Wagging, a gleeful retelling of little-known fairy tales, folklore, history, and more. Hi. I'm back. Welcome to Tail Wagging. What's really cool about this story that I didn't know before is it originated in Northern Africa, which I think makes it extra interesting when I was rereading it today before bringing it to the show tonight. And it was collected by Andrew Lang for the Gray Fairy Book. Andrew Lang has a lot of fairy books, and they're all different colors. I actually downloaded the whole collection onto my Kindle, all the colors, and I think the Blue Fairy Book has most of the ones that you would definitely recognize as like really common fairy tales, but then there's a bunch of randos thrown in. So many randos and weird stories. And I love that I have it for reference that I can check at any time. The gray one, you have to go a ways down the color chart before you get to that book of collections. The title of this story is called The Daughter of Buck Edumsuch. Buck Edumsuch is the only character with a name. That means there's going to be an excessive amount of pronouns and a little bit of confusion here and there. I'm going to do my best to let you know who is talking to who. I like characters to have names. If you would like to name our main character...
Yennefer?
We've been watching Witcher on Netflix, so we're going to go with Yennefer. Yennefer wins. Dan, have you ever heard of the daughter of Buck Edumsuch?
Is she, like, really good at roller derby or something?
No.
Then probably not.
She has a certain set of skills that will become clear later in the story that are very interesting and come out of nowhere. It's a delight.
That's so.
Yeah. This is a story of regretting picking on your siblings. There's a...
no such thing.
A talking ox that likes to taunt you, and the nicest ogre you'll ever meet that isn't named Shrek. I love this story. It's pretty spectacularly weird. And slightly wholesome. And slightly not wholesome. Once upon a time, there lived a couple who had 7 daughters. For a long time, they were happy living together. Then one morning, father called them all before him for a big meeting and said, "Your mother and I are going on a journey. We don't know how long we'll be away, but look around. You're going to find enough provisions in the house to last you 3 years. But do not open the door to anyone till we come home again." So they're just going to stay in the house for 3 years. And the girls said, "Okay." And for 2 years, they never left the house or unlocked the door. It's going really good so far.
This is the trapped in the story gimmick, except they didn't want to deal with the people saying, "Wait, how were they trapped in the tower? That doesn't make any sense." No, they just stayed home on their own. Very logical, very normal. Mm-hmm. Good girls.
They're such good girls. These are good, obedient daughters. Then one day, after they washed their clothes, they're spreading them out on the roof to dry. And tell me if this sounds like a familiar situation. The girls looked down into the street where people were walking around to and fro across the market, saw the stalls of fresh meat, vegetables, and other nice things. Everyone's just out there doing stuff. And we're stuck in our house. One of them cried, "Ugh! This is making me so hungry. Why can't we have some of this stuff? Like, look, I I just want to eat something different than what I have in my house.
Pizza!
Why can't I get a pizza? Something fresh. Anything that's not what I have in my house. How about, like, just one of us go to the market and buy meat and vegetables? And then the goody-goody piped up, the youngest daughter, and said, oh, Yennefer. She said, oh, we mustn't do that. You know, our father forbade us to open the door till he came home again.
No, I protest. This is clearly you. It's the oldest daughter.
The rules one? Follow the rules.
This is clearly the oldest daughter.
This is where things broke down in the family. The eldest daughter sprang at the youngest and just clocked her. And then the second daughter spit on her. The third abused her. We don't know how. It could have been physically, mentally, emotionally. It could have been a nasty taunting. We don't know. The fourth just pushed her. The fifth flung her to the ground. And the sixth tore her clothes. Then they left her lying on the floor. And they all went out with a basket. One basket. Six of you went out. One basket. What's even the point? In an hour, they came back with a basket full of meat and vegetables. They put it in a pot, set it on the fire, and then forgot. They left the door wide open.
Hangry.
Yeah.
Hangry. Next level. You had one job.
One job. You messed it up. Now, the youngest, Yennefer, is not okay with any of this. And when dinner was ready and the table was laid, like, she helped with the chores, but then she's like, not doing this. She snuck out into the hall and hid behind a big barrel that stood in the corner. So not only is she not participating in mealtime, she's gonna go hide. For reasons.
Being attacked?
Yeah. But she apparently had to help with the chores first because of a sense of morality. I don't know.
Still you.
Yeah. So, while the other sisters are enjoying their feast, a witch passed by.
We found a witch, Master Mary Bird, huh?
Catching sight of the open door, she walked in. Message to the listeners. This is why you don't leave your door open. A witch could walk in at any time. You don't know. Mm-hmm. The witch goes up to the oldest girl and says, where shall I begin with you, you fatty? Actually, she used a different term. She used the term, you fat bolster, which I learned is a pillow cushion. Okay. The eldest says, you must begin with the hand that struck my little sister. So the witch gobbled her up. And when the last scrap had disappeared, she came to the second and asked, where shall I begin on you? If you want, I can change it. My pillow cushion? It's not better. The second answered, you must begin with my mouth, which spat on my sister. See, there's so much regret now. And so on with the rest. And very soon, all six of them disappeared. I have to assume the witch eats like Garfield style, just throwing it all in there, because the youngest is hiding behind the barrel the entire time, just frozen in terror. As the witch is eating the last mouthful of the last sister, the youngest runs through the open door into the street. In most horror movies, you get caught because you keep looking back. She does not look back at all. She runs and runs as fast as her feet could carry her until she saw an ogre's castle standing in front of her. And she did what she's good at so far, which is she hides. In a corner near the door, she sees this big pot, and she just kind of creeps up and goes in the pot and pulls the cover over. And then I guess she's really tired from running, so she falls asleep. The ogre comes home. What do you think's going to happen?
Eats it.
The ogre takes a different approach, which is very surprising. The
ogre wears it for a hat.
That's possible. Fee-fo-fum, cried he. I smell the smell of a man. What ill fate has brought him here? He looks through all the rooms. He doesn't see anybody. And he says, "Where are you?" "Don't be afraid. I'll do you no harm." But the girl was still silent. Like, the ogre says, "Please, come on out. Like, hey, I know I'm a big old ogre. I look real scary. That's okay. Your life is quite safe. If you are an old man, you shall be my father. If you're a boy, you shall be my son. If we're like the same age, you shall be my brother. If you're an old woman, you shall be my mother. If you're a young one, you'll be my daughter. And if you're middle-aged, you shall be my wife." Huh. "But anyway, come on out and fear nothing. Obviously, I just want you to be my family. Strange person hiding in my house." The maiden, who we have named Yennefer because of Witcher on Netflix. So she comes out of her hiding place and stands before the ogre. And the ogre gently reaches out, puts some hair behind her ear, and says, "Fear nothing." I love this ogre.
Gross.
He's a nice ogre. So whenever he went away to hunt, he left her to look after the house. And in the evening, he'd come back and he'd bring with him all the stuff like rabbits, partridges, gazelles. And that's all for the girl's supper, because the ogre only cares for the flesh of men, which she cooked for him. So they have a great relationship. He brings her food that she'll eat. She cooks for him the food that he'll eat, not minding the cannibalism. And they have a lovely working relationship as a family. He also trusted her with the keys of 6 rooms, but there was another key, a 7th key, which he kept for himself. Time goes on, and the girl and the ogre live together, and she called him father, and he called her daughter, and he was so nice. He was never rough with her. Everything was cool. And so one day, Yennefer finally asks, "Father, give me the key of the upper chamber." The ogre said, "No, my daughter, there is nothing there that is any use to you." And she said, "But I want the key." The ogre just kind of pretends he doesn't hear. The girl began to cry. And she said to herself, "Tonight when he thinks I'm asleep, I'm just going to watch and see where he hides it." So after dinner, she said goodnight, left the room. And then in a few minutes, she snuck back in and watched from behind a curtain, because she's super good at stealth and hiding. She saw the ogre take the key from his pocket and hide it in a hole in the ground before he went to bed. And when all was quiet, she took the key and went back to the house. So the next morning, the ogre wakes up at dawn, per usual, and the first thing he does is look for the key. It's gone. He knows what probably happened, but instead of going into a great rage like some other ogre would have done, he says to himself, "You know what? If I wake her up, I'm only going to frighten her. For today, she can keep the key. When I come tonight, I'll take it back." So he went off on his hunt like normal. And as soon as he was out the door, the girl runs upstairs and opened the door of the one room she couldn't get in. And there's nothing in it. It's just bare. There's this one window which is closed, so she throws back the curtain and opens up the window and looks out and sees a garden. There's a garden in this neighborhood that belongs to a prince. And she's just kind of overlooking it. And in the garden is an ox who is drawing up water from the well all by himself. There's nobody else there. He's just doing gardening duties. And the ox raised his head when he heard the window open and says to the girl, "Good morning, oh daughter of Buck Edamsuch. Your father is feeding you up until you're nice and fat, and then he'll put you on a spit and cook you."
This shouldn't surprise anyone.
She's a little bit alarmed. These words frightened her so much that she burst into tears and ran from the room. All day long, she's crying. And then when the ogre came home that night, no supper was ready. And he's like, "Hey, daughter, why are you crying? Also, where's my supper? And also, did you go upstairs into the room I didn't want you to go in?" And she says, "Yeah, I went in that room." And he's like, okay, tell me. "What did the ox say to you?" "He said, 'Good morning, oh daughter of Buck Edamsuch. Your father's feeding you up till you're nice and fat, and then he's going to put you on a spit and cook you.'" Ugh, made me feel terrible. And like any good dad, he says, well, tomorrow you can go to the window and say, you know what? My father is feeding me up till I'm nice and fat, but he does not mean to eat me. If I had one of your eyes, I would use it for a mirror and look at myself before and behind, and your girths should be loosened and you should be blind. 7 days and seven nights. Yennefer says, wow, Dad.
Epic.
Gosh, that's pretty weird. But you've always been good to me, so I guess I'll go say those words then. I mean, you've never steered me wrong before. I'm going to listen to you. So the next morning, when the ox taunted her, she said all of those words. And then the ox fell straight to the ground and laid there for 7 days and seven nights. And since there's no gardener, the flowers in the garden are withering. Enter the prince. The prince came into his garden where the plants aren't growing. And he sees the ox just laying there. Understanding boss that he is, he takes out a sword and kills the animal. And then turns to his attendants and says, hey, I need another ox over here. I need another ox now. So they bring in this great beast, and he drew water out of the well, and the flowers revived, and the grass grew green again. The prince is happy because he's got a new ox gardener, and they all left. So the next morning, the Yennefer heard the noise of the water wheel, and she looks out the window. It's new ox. Good morning, O daughter of Buck Edumsuch, said new ox. Your father is feeding you up till you're nice and fat, and he'll put you on a spit and cook you. Since she has such a juicy and powerful comeback, she just goes with that again. My father is feeding me up till I'm nice and fat, and he does not mean to eat me. If I had one of your eyes, I'd use it for a mirror, and I'd look at myself before and behind, and your girths would be loosened, whatever that means, and you should be blind. 7 days and seven nights. Abuya. And as soon as she uttered these words, the ox fell to the ground and lay there for 7 days and seven nights. After the 7 days and seven nights, the ox just woke up and started drawing water from the well again. And he hadn't been doing it very long when the prince decided, I'm going to go visit my garden and see how the new ox is doing. And he sees the ox is working, but the flowers look bad. The grass is dried up. Maybe this ox sucks at gardening. I don't know. So the prince draws his sword, like, this is how I fire people. And he rushes at the ox to slay him. And the ox falls to his knees and said, my lord, spare my life. Let me tell you what happened. And the prince says, okay, what happened? My lord, a girl looked out of that window and she said some stuff to me. It was weird. I fell to the ground. Don't know why. 7 days, seven nights, couldn't move. Obviously I'm okay now, but what I really need you to know from the story is how beautiful this maiden is. And the prince is like, liar, an ogre lives there. Why would a beautiful maiden live there? And the ox says, why not? If you come here at dawn tomorrow, hide behind that tree, you can see for yourself. I'm super good at taunting her. Prince says, fine. But if you're not telling the truth, I'm going to kill you. And so the prince left the garden. Ox went on with his work, and the next morning they executed their super secret spy plan. Prince is hiding, and as soon as he gets in his spot, the maiden throws open the window. Ox says, good morning, O daughter of Buck Edumsuch. Your father's feeding you up till you're nice and fat, and he'll put you on a spit and cook you. And then she said that weird stuff again. I'm not going to repeat it. And hardly had she spoken when the ox fell to the ground. And she shut the window and went away. But not caring about what happened to the ox at all, the prince knew what the ox said was true and probably stepped on the ox on the way back to his house. What he knew in his heart was that Yennefer is super hot and had no equal in the whole world. So the prince, his heart is burning with love. Based on this single encounter.
A heart full of love.
A heart full of you. Yeah, except she's not singing back. but the biggest question on the prince's mind is, why hasn't the ogre eaten her? She looks, like, edible. He decides to make a plan. He's going to invite the ogre over for dinner and just, you know, see if she's available. Like, she is wife. Like, what's the dealio, yo? Can I get them digits? The prince ordered a great ox. I don't think it's the same one, just another rando great ox in his kingdom, to be slain and roasted whole, and two huge tanks to be made, one filled with water and one filled with wine. We're going to have an epic party. Toward the evening, he calls his attendants, and they all go to the ogre's house, and they're just kind of like waiting in his front yard till he comes home from hunting, being kind of weird. The ogre was really surprised to see a party on his lawn, but he's such a nice guy. He bows politely and says, "Good morning, dear neighbors. To what do I owe the pleasure of this visit? I have not offended you, I hope." It's not a homeowners association problem, right? Like, we good? Like, I built this place a long time ago. "Oh, certainly not," says the prince. Ogre says, "Then what's brought you to my house then today for the first time ever?" "Well, we've been neighbors for a long time, and we would like to have supper with you." Ogre says, "Well, supper's ready. Come on in. I got a really good cook." The ogre leads the way into the house. He'd had a really good day. He had plenty of game from his hunting. They quickly prepared the table. The prince chose a spot and sat down. I'm guessing it's all set. And then the prince has a eureka moment and he says, "Buck, Adam Such, why don't you come to supper with me?" Ogre says, "Where?" And, "Oh, in my house. Like, I know it's all ready." Ogre's like, "But it's so far away. Why not stay here where the food is right now?" And the prince says, "Oh, I'll come another day, but tonight I have to be your host." So the ogre is very polite and he accompanies the prince and his attendants back to the palace. And after much water and wine and feasting, the prince turns to the ogre and says, "Hey, I got a level with you. It is as a wooer that I appear before you." That's a direct quote. "I seek a wife from an honorable family."
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, you woo, woo. "I need to woo, woo, woo. And you got someone I want to woo." And the ogre says, I don't have a daughter." And the prince says, "Yeah, you do. I saw her at the window. She looked real good." The ogre says, "Well, you can marry her if you wish." What an accommodating ogre. The prince's heart was glad, and he and his attendants rode back with the ogre to the house. And as they parted, the prince said, "You'll not forget the bargain we've made, right?" Ogre says, "I never break my promises," and went in and shut the door. Upstairs, he found Yennefer. She was waiting until he got back to have supper because she didn't like eating by herself. Aw, that's really sweet. And the ogre's like, "Oh, sweetie, please eat. Don't wait on my account. Like, yeah. I had supper.
I already ate.
He already ate. Yeah. I have to eat dinner yet." He's like, "I've had my supper. I've been spending the evening with the prince." And the Yennefer asks, "Where did you meet him?" "Oh, my front yard. Actually, we're neighbors. We grew up together. And tonight I promised you'll be his wife." And she says, "I don't want to be any man's wife." But the story says this is only a pretense. Her heart is too glad. I feel like maybe she said what she felt. But the story claims she's really happy about this arrangement. So we're going to pretend that she's just trying to be nice and not want the ogre to think she wants to leave because she likes him so much and they've got this great relationship. I'm really into the ogre. I think the ogre is great. The next morning early came the prince and he brought all these gifts and splendid wedding garments and he carries the maiden back to his palace. But before she left, the ogre called Yennefer to him and she said, and he had these parting words of advice. "Be careful, girl. Never speak to the prince. And when he speaks to you, you must be mute. Unless he swears by the head of Buck Edomsuch, then you may speak." And the girl says, "Very well." Is that something you would say in everyday life? Like if you just Ah, by the head of Buck Edamsuch, would you come to that naturally in conversation?
It's possible.
Not as possible for our prince, as we're going to find
kind of
out.
Random, but
it's,
you know,
really random.
I have to get pretty lucky.
Why does he think anyone would do this? But these are the ogre rules, and Yennefer loves ogre. Ogre loves Yennefer. We're going to follow the rules. So they set out together, Prince and Yennefer, and when they reached the palace, the prince led his bride to the room he prepared for her. I'm guessing he painted the walls pink, assuming that's her favorite color. And he says, "Speak to me, my wife." And she's silent. And eventually he's like, "Okay," and he leaves. Maybe she's shy. I don't know. I mean, I did just take her from her home. Maybe she needs a little time to get acclimated. But the next day, the same thing happened. And the day after that. And the day after that. At last, he said, "Well, if you won't speak, I'm going to go get another wife who will." And he did. I guess they're easy to come by.
The end?
Nope. When the new wife... When the new wife was brought to the palace, Yennefer rose and spoke to the ladies who had come to wait on this new bride. And she can talk to other people, just not the prince. And she says, "Hey, go sit down. I'll make the feast. I'm really good at it." And the ladies are like, "Okay, I don't like doing work. We'll sit down and watch you work. That's okay." And Yennefer also decides to sit down, which seems weird for someone preparing a feast. But she's got a plan. She calls out, "Come here, firewood." And the firewood came. Then she says, "Come here, fire." And the fire came and kindled the wood. "Come here, pot. Come here, oil." And the pot and oil came. At no point in the story up to this point have I been led to believe she has magic powers, but there you go. This is happening. It's just gonna get weirder, so hold on to your butts. "Get into the pot, oil," she said, and the oil did it. And when the oil was boiling, the maiden dipped all her fingers in it. And they became 10 fried fishes. You hungry, Dan?
No.
Yeah. "Come here, oven," she cried next. And the oven came. "Fire, heat the oven." And the fire heated it. And when it was hot enough, the maiden jumped in the oven, just as she was, in a beautiful silver and gold dress, all her jewels. And in a minute or two, she turned into a snow white loaf of bread. Real big one, I would assume. The talking loaf of bread says to everyone in the room, "You can eat now. Don't stand so far off." But they all kind of stared at each other, like speechless with surprise. Like, what is happening? Are there drugs here? What is going on? The new bride is not impressed, though. She says, "What are you staring at?" And the ladies say, "All these wonders? Do you call these wonders? I can do that too." And she jumped straight in the oven and burned up really fast. No more new bride. The audience ran to the prince and said, "Come quickly, your wife is dead." And he says, "Bury her then." So remorseful. Then he has the big thoughts. Why did she do it? I'm sure I said nothing to make her throw herself in an oven. Oh, well. So the burnt woman got buried. The prince didn't go to the funeral because he's just still thinking about that one wife who won't talk to him. This is the one you want to be with, Yennefer? All right, cool. So the next night he says to her, "Dear wife, are you afraid that something dreadful will happen if you speak to me? If you still persist in being mute, I'm going to be forced to get another wife. I just can't have a wife that doesn't talk to me." Yennefer wanted to speak so much, but the ogre told her to stay silent, and she trusted him. So the prince went for it, brought in a fresh bride, and when she and her ladies were seated, Yennefer planted a sharp stake in the ground and then just kind of sat on it and began to spin. "I'm crafty, Everything is fine on the sharp stake. The new bride is not impressed, like the other one. What are you staring at? Like, do you think anything is wonderful? I could do that. And the ladies were like, I'm pretty sure you can't. And Yennefer got off the stake and left the room, a sudden call of nature or something. And so the new wife's like, I'm gonna go sit on that stake. However, if you sit on a sharp stake, you will be run through completely, as this bride was. Ooh, this is pretty gruesome. She's real dead now. Super dead. I don't know why Yennefer's taking such glee and killing these new brides that are competing with her. Yikes. They sent for the prince and said, come quickly, bury your wife. He says, bury her yourselves. And then contemplates, but why did she do it? It was not by my orders that she impaled herself on a stake. Oy, what a winner. So they buried her, and in the evening, the prince came to Yennefer and said to her, speak to me, or I shall have to take another wife. She's really afraid to talk to him. The prince hides himself in her room, and he watches the next day. And as soon as Yennefer woke up, she starts talking to inanimate objects, which is her new thing. She says to the pitcher and the water jug, quickly, go down to the spring and bring me some water. I'm thirsty. And they went, but as they were filling themselves up at the spring, apparently they got into an argument, and the water jug knocked into the pitcher and broke off its spout. The pitcher has feelings and burst into tears, ran to the maiden and said, mistress, beat the water jug. He broke my spout. And the water jug begged, by the head of Buck Edamsuch, I implore you not to beat me. And Yennefer says, ah, if only my husband would say those exact words, I could have spoken to him from the beginning. He need never have taken another wife. We wouldn't have had so many strange deaths in our palace. But now he'll never say it, and he'll just have to keep marrying fresh wives. Bummer. But the prince springs out of his hiding place, hearing the words. He jumps up and runs to her and says, by the head of Buck Edamsuch, speak to me. And then I think he dips her dramatically. So she spoke to him. We'll never know what she said, because the story doesn't say, but I'd like to assume it's along the lines of, it's about time. They lived happily to the end of their days because the girl kept the promise she made to the ogre. That's the reason they lived happily to the end of their days, because she didn't talk for that period of time. Dan, what do you think of the daughter of Buck Edamsuch?
It was too long.
You say that about every story.
This one was definitely too long.
But it had so much character. Oh, come on. It got right up silly. She turned herself into a loaf of bread. I can't omit those details. Like, I try to edit. I try real hard to edit, but, I mean, I could have cut out some ox taunting. You have me there. I could have cut out a lot of ox taunting. We could have just skipped to the prince seeing her. This story has, like, three distinct phases, like family time, yep. Ogre time, and murder time. And it's real weird. So, hence my gleeful retelling of it to you, because it's just one of those stories I can't believe exists. But that's my story. Thank you for coming to Tail Wagging. I hope you enjoyed it too. There are some good ogres out there, and there are some maidens who will straight up accidentally murder people to get rid of competition. Be nice to your siblings. Otherwise, a witch will eat you. And you can ignore the tauntings of an ox if you have a snappy comeback. Take care. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Tail Wagging. If you'd like to send in a story idea, email us at tailwaggingpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter at Tail Wagging Pod. That's TALEWAGGINGPOD. We started a Twitch channel where you can watch the storytelling live at twitch.tv/JackieBauerTV and a YouTube channel. Links to both are in the show notes. We'd really love it if you could take a moment to please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. It really helps us get found on this new adventure. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, tweet about it on the interwebs, or send a raven. And if you are under an evil enchantment or have been transformed into a creature of some kind, I can't promise that listening to the next episode will turn you back, but it might. This is Tail Wagging. May all your dreams come true.